I don't know about you guys, but I have go-to books that I come back to time and time again. And what I have on my bookshelf is this tiny little section of Poirot novels that my grandfather gave me before he passed away. And I find myself returning to pick them up. I love the mystery of it all. I wonder if you guys like a mystery too. So I thought we'd start today with a little bit of an activity. And Judy's going to pop a video up for us and we're going to watch together. Well, how many of the changes did you pick up on? Did you pick up on any when I first watched it? I think I went, there's a bear, was there something? But really, I was focused on who did it. I was focused on the task at hand. I wonder if that's a little bit because I've always been a goody two-shoes, a teacher's pet. I like to sit up the front of class, focus on what I'm told to, and not get distracted. This is great in some senses, but it means that I can totally miss other things that are going on around me. It doesn't make me a particularly good driver. Maybe you're a bit like me. I know here I have a room full of highly competent people, highly skilled people who are great at doing their jobs, managing their lives, ticking things off their to-do lists. But how often can you become so focused, so good at the stuff that you have to do, that you miss things? That you miss the subtle or maybe not so subtle things around you? How often might you be out of tune with the spirits prompting or moving amidst your everyday lives, whether it is a subtle thing or a big blaring, hey, look at me, it's God. As we jump into today's reading from Luke, I want us to notice Jesus interrupting Simon Peter, James and John in their ordinary workday. We're going to look at three themes in today's reading. We're going to look at being interrupted, being called and transformed. So first let's look at the reading and how Jesus interrupts these first disciples that he calls. So this is back at the very start of Luke's gospel. I don't want us to get confused because we're at the end last week. We're jumping around a bit. So one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were busy washing their nets. He got into one of those boats that belonged to Simon and asked him to put it out a little from the shore, so that he had better visibility. Then he sat down in that boat and taught the people. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put your net out in deep waters and let them down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have actually been working all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll put down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled up the boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to the shore, they left everything and they followed him. Now picture this scene. The multitudes were pressing around Jesus, listening to the word of God. And where were Peter? Where was James? Where was John? Well, they were involved with their business. They were involved in cleaning the nets after a really frustrating night of no fish biting at all. And so Jesus's job then was to get their eyes off the fish and onto himself and onto the lost people and the call he was about to put on their lives. And so Jesus performs a miracle of the multitude of fish, interrupting them right where they were. So once Jesus has caught their attention, he calls them. He calls them to a greater mission, to be fishers of people. It says in verse 10, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." Now, the word here used in verse 10, this fishing word, is actually different to all the other Greek words used for fishing and catching in the Bible. The one here means to capture alive rather than dead. So although their vocation at that point was to catch fish that would die, that they would feed to others, Jesus is reorientating them and says, no, I'm going to get you to catch people alive, to give them a new focus, to come alive for Jesus. But we see that when Simon, who would later become Peter, sees the miracle that Jesus performs, he responds, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." You might think, what an odd thing to say after seeing a miracle. We think it's because being face to face with God makes Simon Peter aware of his own brokenness, and yet still, God proceeds to give him a divine call, even though he doesn't feel worthy. Even though Peter didn't feel worthy, Jesus still wanted to use him. Now, as we looked at in last week's message, Jesus would have known every mistake that Simon Peter would make as a disciple. He would know of the betrayals that were going to come. However, none of it was a surprise to Jesus. Despite it all, Jesus still calls Peter. He knows that Simon Peter is going to have some utter and complete train wreck of moments as a disciple. But he essentially says, "Hey, Peter, I'm going to meet you in the mess. I'm going to meet you in the betrayal. I'm going to meet you with profound grace." Jesus is saying to Peter at this time, and also to us as we read it, and again, I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't literally say this, you might not have it all together right now. In fact, you're probably never going to have it together, but I'm calling you to join me on and in the mission. And through my spirit, through my divine nature, I'm going to empower you. I wonder if you, like me, like Peter, have ever felt unworthy of God's mission. Like you're not a good enough believer to serve God just yet. That you require a little more refining before you're ready. Maybe these feelings can stop you from just getting started with serving God, from sharing the gospel with others, of partnering with Jesus on God's mission to see a radically different way of being and living transform the earth. And we explored this last week. We see that human sin, failure, and inadequacy are actually no obstacles to God's call through Scripture. That he continues to call imperfect people who are just not quite ready, who might be doubting. Brings to mind Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah, to name a few. But God doesn't wait for them to shape up. Instead, God calls them as they are and shapes them into faithful servants. Actually, it's their brokenness that exposes God's mercy and grace. And this is where I'd like to highlight this lady here. Her name is Rachel P. Jones, and she's a cross-cultural worker or a missionary, living and serving and showing the love of the gospel in the Horn of Africa. Rachel is a person who is very obviously living out that mandate and that invitation to become a fisher or a catcher of men. Now, in a 2020 blog post, Rachel reflected on how she no longer tries to hide her brokenness while on mission. She no longer tries to hide any unworthiness or inadequacy. And rather than paraphrase her, I thought I'd just share with you what she wrote, because it's really quite beautiful. She reflects on mission, saying, "When we hide our brokenness, what impression are we giving people, are we giving as a people who love Jesus? We're giving an impression that Jesus' people are strong, healthy, whole, almost superheroes never doubting, never afraid, never in need, never broken in body or spirit, mind or relationship. Yet it's in our very weakness and limitations that grace is revealed as powerful. As scripture says, when I am weak, then I am strong. And God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and the weak things to shame the strong. Rachel continues, Jesus came to heal the broken and needy and sinful. And yet sometimes we behave as though we are Jesus. That as we are on mission, we're going to bring healing to the broken and needy and sinful, rather than the truth that we need Jesus to heal us right alongside the communities that we serve. We do not act as though we are with them in longing for restoration and healing, rather that we are somehow the source of it. And that's not what Jesus asks of us. She says that some say faith is for weak people, that faith is a crutch. And to that she says, Amen. I am weak, she says. I have all of my arms and my legs, but I don't have my thyroid anymore and I'm still riddled with cancer. She says, I have my mind, but it can quickly veer into discouragement and borderline despair. I have a happy marriage, but no one can infuriate me more than my husband. I have incredible children, she says, and yet I feel terrified and overwhelmed through most of my parenting years. Bring on the crutch of faith. I could not move forward through this life of grief and fear and pain without it. Bring on Jesus. Rachel, like you and me, like so many other Christians we know, and so many of those called throughout Scripture, including today's disciples, are human, are frail, are broken, and just like us. Yet Jesus calls her, Jesus calls the disciples in today's reading. Really, Jesus calls any of your favourite Bible character. In our brokenness, in our feelings of inadequacy, to join in the mission. So the question is, are you willing to participate in God's mission? Not in some day when you're more perfect, but right as you are right now. And are you prepared for God to use your brokenness to display his mercy, to display his grace? When we join in God's mission, something spectacular happens. And this is where we get to the transformed part of today's reading. And it's often the part that makes me most uncomfortable, if I'm honest. When we participate in God's mission, the Spirit starts to do things. The Spirit starts to do amazing things within us and beyond us. And it can be a little bit unnerving and exciting sometimes. So are we ready to be used for something unexpected? Are we ready to be used for something beyond ourselves? Are we ready to have our skills expanded and stretched for something extraordinary to be done? Simon Peter's resistance to Jesus in today's reading stems not only from his sense of brokenness or unworthiness, but he initially actually protests Jesus' instructions to go into the deep waters and to let down the nets, because he's convinced that the fish are not biting. It's not news to Simon Peter that Jesus is unique, that Jesus can bend logic and perform miracles. In the previous chapter, we see that Simon Peter witnesses Jesus heal his mother-in-law, Mary, of her high fever. Yet he still doubts Jesus' instructions. And honestly, sometimes I can be a bit of a skeptic too, and I read this and understand why Peter is a little bit skeptical. After all, he's the fisherman. Catching fish is his skill set, his trade. Fishing was probably a skill set that was passed down from his father and his father's father He was probably out on these boats since he was a little boy. He knew these waters. He was there training and learning from about this age. So they've worked all night. They're tired. They've caught nothing. Then this carpenter comes along, this carpenter with insane medical healing abilities, and tries to tell him how to be a fisherman. He says, just go out on your boat and cast your nets to the other side. I can hardly blame Peter's skepticism. But then the fishermen do what Jesus instructs them to do. They suspend their doubts for a moment, and it was all that they needed to do. They just need to suspend doubts for the moment, and they give it a go. The men chuck their nets into these deeper waters. And now many scholars believe that the term deeper waters means so much more just than just the literal deep waters that they're floating on. They believe that the deep waters imply unexplored things, potential, mystery, beyond perceived resources and limits and knowledge. So in the gospel reading today from verse 6, it tells us, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners on the shore, come, come to us, help us. And they came and they filled the boat so heavily that they began to sink. Can you imagine this? If you were an exhausted fisherman who had no bites all night and suddenly out of nowhere, multitudes of fish, not a couple, like breaking your nets, your boats are sinking. It defies logic. It defies training. It defies every part of their human skill, their trade. This act of fishing shows how God takes their skill set, their gifting, and transforms it into something far greater than what they could have done alone. The act of God here is characterized by an abundance and a provision. A large catch of fish represents stability and care, support, having enough. It's a physical manifestation of them having their needs met. Furthermore, I'd say that size of catch isn't just provision for their immediate needs, but it's enough food for them to sell and support their families beyond just that day, and enough food to feed the whole community. I really like what a scholar, Elizabeth Johnson, says in her commentary on this passage. When she asks these questions, she says, how often do we resist Jesus' claim on our lives because what he calls us to do seems too crazy and too impractical? How often do we avoid putting out into the deep waters of following and bearing witness to Jesus because we are convinced that we're not going to see any results? What might it mean for us to go deep sea fishing with Jesus? To trust, to follow him outside of our comfort zones, to let go of our certainties, to behave as if what we profess in our minds and of our mouth is true, and have our lives radically reorientated, not just for us, but for the greater community, as was done here through the miracle of the multitudes of fish. So I'd voice it like this to us this morning. How often are we inviting Jesus to move beyond what we feel capable of? How often are we saying to God, hey, God, Holy Spirit, move me beyond my capacity. Take me beyond my skills in service of you. Let me suspend my reservations and my doubts for a moment, God, and help us so that you can move through us. I know that all the times in my life when I've really done something that felt like kingdom work and made an impact, it's only ever, I've written here 25%, but that feels very generous. I think it's only ever been about 15% me, 85% the Spirit of God doing something. God takes us in our broken state. He considers the unique giftings that he's given all of us, the unique skills, and he magnifies and God encourages in a way that is far beyond what we could ever do alone. Yes, the human call is to follow God, but ultimately it's God's activities, not our own abilities. So I hope that today's reading from Luke can help us to ponder these three things. And for those who are like me that need a little bit of prompting throughout the week, I've left some of these at the info hub for you to put in your Bibles or on your fridge. And they simply invite us. Are we ready to be interrupted by God in the midst of our ordinary everyday lives? Are we prepared to be called for God to use us as we are right now, today, broken, ugly bits and all? And are we ready to be transformed, used for something unexpected and beyond ourselves? Let's pray together before we get up and sing to respond. Loving God, we thank you so much that you are close to us, that you care for us, and that you know us. And this morning, we want to hand ourselves over to you and your Holy Spirit that is alive and moving and still so capable of miracles in our ordinary everyday world. Lord, help us to hand ourselves over to you and to your Spirit so that you may use us individually and together to do things beyond our capacity, beyond our expectation. Surprise us, God. Delight us. Encourage us. Amen.